Will you live for your own goals, your own comfort, and your own pleasure, or will you live for the glory of God? Rick Warren was right when he wrote in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, it's not about you. He says, the purpose of your life is far greater than your own personal fulfillment, your peace of mind, or even your happiness. It's far greater than your family, your career, or even your wildest dreams and ambitions. If you want to know why you're placed on this planet, you must begin with God. You were born by His purpose and for His purpose. It's all for Him. The ultimate goal of the universe is to show the glory of God. John Piper writes in Don't Waste Your Life, we waste our lives when we do not pray and think and dream and plan and work toward magnifying God in all spheres of life. Will we magnify God in all the spheres of life in 2007? And if we do, what will it look like? What does a God want from us? What does our God want from us? Now, our purpose statement that was up early in the Vision DVD reads as follows. To glorify God, remember we begin with glory to God, by bringing people to Jesus and fellowship in His family, leading them to a Christ-like maturity, equipping them for loving service in the church and effective witness in the world. And this morning I'm going to give you briefly 10 things we need to become if we're to be a church that magnifies God. Number one, we need to be a God-glorifying church. A God-glorifying church. We need to realize that we are not at the center of the universe, but we are to be reflectors of the one who is at the center of the universe, Jesus Christ. And Max Lucado, in his book, It's Not About Me, writes this. He says, when Copernicus came along in 1543, we earthlings enjoyed center stage. Fathers, he said, could place an arm around their children, point to the night sky, and proclaim the universe revolves around us. He says, Copernicus tapped our collective shoulders and cleared his throat. He says, forgive my proclamation, but pointing a lone finger toward the sun, he announced, behold, the center of the solar system. So people denied the facts for over half a century. When like-minded Galileo came along, the throne locked him up and the church kicked him out. People didn't take well to demotions back then. We still don't. What Copernicus did for the earth, God does for our souls. Tapping the collective shoulder of humanity, he points to his son and he says, behold, the center of it all. It's not about us, it's about him. We are to be reflectors of Christ who is at the center. And the question we ask, how well do we reflect Jesus Christ? Jesus taught his disciples to pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed, magnified, honored, glorified be your name. Notice the first petition is God-centered. It's about God's glory, it's about God's honor. More on that in the next couple of weeks. But I want to say that the ministry at Ngawi Baptist Church is not for my glory, nor is it for your glory. It is for the glory of God. It is not to make me famous, or to make you famous, or to make Ngawi Baptist Church famous, but rather to make God famous. I guess God's pretty famous already. But at least to point, to magnify his fame and his glory and his beauty and his love and his mercy. He is the one worthy of worship, worthy of adulation, worthy of unbridled and passionate obedience. That's why Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 10, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Peter writes, if anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised or God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Friends, if we only get one thing in 2007, it's this. It's about God. It's about His glory. He's the star of the show. Not you, not me. We reflect His glory, His beauty to a lost world, that they too would share in the joy of knowing Him and His glory. Secondly, we are to be a Bible-based and Christ-centered preaching church. Bible-based and Christ-centered. Paul writes Colossians 1, 28 and 29, we proclaim Him admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect or mature or complete in Christ. To this end, he says, I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. Paul says he takes the word of God to people and he works hard at it. And in 2 Timothy 3, you have those verses there that I'm not going to read, which speak about the work of the gospel, the work of the Bible. We proclaim the cross and the resurrection. We proclaim the message that that man proclaimed to Christian on the Gold Coast many years ago. Maybe not too much on the hellfire and brimstone, but maybe a little bit more on the love and compassion and mercy of God. See, this week you would have seen all the newspapers about Jesus loves Osama. There's been some big ads put out by Outreach Media, and they've been putting ads out for the last 20 or so years now in churches. Most people just ignore them as they walk past and drive past. But now all around Sydney, who knows, maybe around Australia, it says Jesus loves Osama, and underneath it says that to pray and love and forgive those who persecute you. Passage from Matthew 5. It made the media, but what's going on? Why are they saying this? And you know, you sit back and you think, why is it so surprising that the word of God is so offensive? That the God of the world, he doesn't like what Osama does, but he loved the world and gave his life for it. But the word of God is always offensive, but we keep preaching it, we keep teaching it to build strong, mature disciples. Number three, we're to be a prayerful church. Jesus taught his disciples a model for prayer, and the Lord's Prayer. In Colossians 4, Paul says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Friends, that's why we have a prayer gathering coming up on Thursday. Because you need prayer individually, we need prayer as a corporate body, we need to call upon God, we need to express our dependence upon God, that God would work and change lives. You know, Robin's a young guy who's going to testify tonight. Yeah, he heard the gospel, his friends witnessed to him, he did a Discovering Jesus course and still held back. End of last year when Christian shared a more extended testimony at night, Robin says, that's me, that's where I'm at. And after the service, he came and spoke to Christian and spoke to me, we gathered together with him, he said, I want to give my life to Christ. You know, we'd prayed, we'd shared, and we kept praying. And there he was in tears, just about halfway up the pews over there. And he gave his life to Christ. And the next day on his website, on his blog, whatever these things are, on his blog, he just testified. He said, I just want to tell you that I gave my life to Christ. I am a Christian. Some of you may not like that, may not be happy with that, but you might think I'm going to be a Bible basher now, but I want to tell you that last night I had a story and I understood God's love and I gave my life to Christ. Friends, prayer does that if we step out in faith and pray for the lost and for the broken. Let's pray in 2007 like never before. We need to be a loving and a relevant church. See, the church, the first church in Acts chapter 2 is described this way in verse 46. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts. This is a happy group of people. Praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. See, the people looked at this group of Christians and they enjoyed their favor. People said, there is something unique, there is something special about this group of people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. God added to it. And Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. 2007, we need to become more loving. Not to say that we're not loving, but church, we need to become more loving, loving like Jesus loves. People ought to be able to come to a church service and feel the love of Christ in the conversations afterwards and the welcome that they receive. Someone comes into this place, it's like they're walking into my home. I need to get a cup of tea for them and coffee, give them some sweets, put up a meal for them, give them the best seat on the lounge, look after their kids, provide something for them. If they come to my home, we care for them, don't we? And somebody walks into this place on a Sunday or midweek on a Monday night or Tuesday or any activity we run, they ought to know that there's no welcome like the welcome they get at Ngāi Wī Baptist Church. That's what a Church of Jesus Christ ought to be like. And friends, one of the ways you can develop that sense of community and welcome is by joining a small group. Let me let you in on a secret. From time to time, people leave this church as well as join this church. Breaks your heart every time it happens, but they leave this church as others come to this church. I'll tell you why most people leave. Because they're coming for a period of time, they haven't really connected to a home group, they haven't made some good friendships. They may come week after week and come to a few things, and have a few friendships, but they don't connect strongly. And it may be a year later, maybe 4 or 5 years later. They wander off and you haven't seen them for a while, and you've been trying to ring them up, and you ring up on the phone and say, "Oh, by the way, we've been looking at another church." "Oh, man, not again. Why?" And normally, because they haven't made the connections, they haven't joined a small group, and they're not involved in ministry. So when we say join a small group, get involved in ministry, because normally, not always the case, but normally because people are looking for authentic friendships, we want to encourage that. Number five, we need to be a small as well as a large church that draws in the whole idea of small groups. And we have something like 700 people who come to church on a Sunday, men, women, and children. You can't know everyone. You need to build friendships. So therefore, we encourage people to join a small group for interactive Bible study, for what we call dynamic fellowship, where you build friendships, where you can care for one another through the tough times and rejoice through the good times. Be there to provide meals for people when they can't make their own meals. Be there when their kids are going through struggles and the parents are pulling out their head, don't know what to do with their teenagers. Fellowship, authentic fellowship, pastoral care, to pray for one another, to stimulate one another to ministry and mission. Do evangelism together. You know, and some people will become Christians through your home groups. If you invite people who are close to the faith, invite them into your home groups. We had a person come to faith a year or so ago through our home ministry group. God-honoring church has a strong and dynamic small group ministry. Number six, we need to be an equipping church. Ephesians 4, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. So there's a role for leadership, there's a role for leaders right across this congregation to train and equip others. How do we train? We train through Bible teaching, bring God's word to people. We do it through our home groups. We do it through encouragement, one-on-one. We do it through prayer. We do it through training courses. We will, in the leadership summit, equip you to be better leaders. In the SHAPE course, we will prepare you and equip you to find a place to minister. On May the 12th, we're going to do Walk Through the Bible course with Gary Coleman, an overview of the Old Testament, so you understand how the Old Testament fits together. We'll train people in follow-up and discipling. We will train people on how to run small groups. We're going to train people on how to share the gospel through our Contagious Christian course. It'll be a training church to bring glory to God. Seven, we need to be a serving church. Romans 12 tells us that each person has a place to serve. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, to each one. Don't look at anyone else this morning. To each one, whoever you are, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. You have spiritual gifts that God has given you to bless others. That's the point. Romans 12. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. A God-honoring church is a church which has, if there are 700 people in church, 700 people. Or let's leave the kids out for a moment, 500 to 600 people who are going to serve in some way. And let you in on another secret. Fulfillment never comes through self-gratification, but by giving your life away. Never comes by self-gratification. We need to be a giving church. 2 Corinthians 8, 7 says, "Just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving." We are never embarrassed to ask you to give money to the work of the gospel. You might be embarrassed that we ask you, but we are never embarrassed, because what we put our money into expresses what we are committed to. Are we committed to world mission? We will fund it. Are we committed to reaching the lost in this community? We will fund it. Are we committed to putting on more staff to do more ministry? We need to fund it. We need to sponsor more needy children in the world. We need to fund it. God has given us all we need to do those ministries. It's not about me. It's not about us. It's about God's glory and serving the needy in this world. So can we just skip over to number 96? We need to be an evangelistic and discipling church. An evangelistic and discipling church. Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. He says, go. You know, I walk past some of my neighbors sometimes and I think, man, they're lost. And sometimes I don't know how to bring up the gospel with them, but I know that they're lost. I need to go. So we need to make disciples. I need to baptize them. I need to teach them to obey everything. But Bill Hybels in his book, Just Walk Across the Room, we talked about that last year, just getting up from your seat and doing something different. When you go to the hairdresser, initiate a conversation. You've got a neighbor, walk across and talk about the garbage, about the football, talk about something. And Bill Hybels says, you know, one day there was a new neighbor and they walk their bins out every Tuesday night. He said, I walked out and I introduced myself to this guy. I said, what's your name? I said, I'm Bill. What's your name? I said, I'm Bill too. So that's easy. And then he said, a few weeks later, as they chatted about life and their kids and so on, he said, what do you do for a job? And Bill said, well, I'm a pastor of a local church. He said, it's not the church that holds up traffic every week, is it? He said, no, not that one. I said, well, I just want to tell you I'm not into church, so I'm not planning to go to church. I said, oh, Bill, that's okay. I guess I get the point. And he said, by the way, what do you do? He said, I sell Chevrolets. And Bill said, well, that's easy. I'd never buy Chevrolet. I said, we're on equal footing. That's good. And they said, they laughed and they joked a period of time. Months later, he turned to him and said, you know, really, Bill Hybels said to the other Bill, he said, Bill, I don't get why you've never been to church. You're a red-blooded American. You're a Republican even. You don't even go to church at Easter and Christmas. You ought to go to church at Easter if you're a patriot. I said, I took the risk. And he said, the guy got so upset. So he came to church. He figured, come on. He said, I'm a patriot. I'm an American. I'm a Republican. I need to be at church at least at Easter. He turned up to Easter. And afterwards, Bill talked to him. And he said, how'd you find it? The guy went up to him and said, man, Bill, church has changed. Church has changed. He said, what was it exactly? He said, man, you can talk in front of people. He thought he'd say something else. He said, you know, we have all these chats, but you're up in front of people talking to all these people. And what you said was good. A few months later, 6 months later, the guy hadn't turned up to church. And Bill said, you haven't turned up. You thought it was so good. Why didn't you come back? Oh, mate, that sermon was so good, it's kept me going for 6 months. And Bill said, we just prayed, sort of praying and going and trying to reach. He said, then he started coming twice a year. Christmas and Easter. And 6 years later, guy went up to him one day and said, Bill, I came to church the other night, I gave my life to Christ. So I just want to tell you, I committed my life to Jesus. What you said last night, finally, after all these years, and they're just talking over the garbage bin, going in and out every Tuesday night, so I gave my life to Christ. And Bill said, we started talking, we prayed together, and every Tuesday night, as well as getting him into Bible study groups, we would just talk about Jesus. Every Tuesday night, we take the garbage bins out. And one day this guy said, you know, he said, Bill, I run a Chevrolet dealership and I've got a couple of cars. And I know you run a ministry at your church where you give old cars to single mums and poor people. I got two cars. Do you think would you like them? Do you think it would be a good thing for me to give those cars? Bill said, if you think it's a good thing, I think it's a good thing. And next day the guy took down these two cars. See, changed by God. The man who's life is about money and cars and possessions changed by God because one person just had a conversation over garbage bins. And the guy said when he handed in those cars, you know, said, Bill, that's probably the most important thing I've ever done in my life. I feel so good about being able to serve someone else. Just walk across a room in 2007. And finally, a world missions church. A world missions church. Make disciples of all nations, the Bible says. You receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Why be involved in World Mission Church? Why put our money in the young people from our church who are going overseas? Because the glory of God is at stake. John Stott puts it this way. The highest of missionary motives is neither obedience to the Great Commission, important as that is, nor love for sinners who are alienated and perishing, strong as that incentive is, especially when we contemplate the wrath of God, but rather zeal, burning and passionate zeal for the glory of Jesus Christ. And John Piper adds, missions is not the ultimate goal of the church. Worship is. Mission exists because worship doesn't. Worship is ultimate, not missions, because God is ultimate, not man. When this age is over and the countless millions of the redeemed fall on their faces before the throne of God, missions will be no more. It is a temporary necessity, but worship abides forever. Friends, we need to go to the lost neighbors. We need to go to the people overseas. Why? Because we want them worshiping the one who deserves worship and glory and honor. May God bless us in 2007 that his name would be honored and glorified. Amen. Father God, at least these 10 things, Father, you call us to do. We pray for the strength to do them to your glory. Amen.